Hello and welcome to another Use of Force. This is our final walk week, week 52, and therefore our final Use of Force report. This week, we had an interesting evolution to the Use of Force report. It was initially an unidentified Use of Force when we looked all the way back 1 year ago, identifying different use of force people along our routes, and by the end of this project, our research got better and more sophisticated. We found more outlets to pursue, and as a consequence, we actually know the person that was involved in this use of force instance, which we will get into in a second. I will now read the corresponding use of force report for this instance. On December 31st, in Nassau County, an off-duty NYPD officer and a retired lieutenant from the Nassau County Police Department were alerted to an ongoing robbery and altercation at a nearby pharmacy. They rushed to the scene and observed two men engaged in a violent struggle over a firearm. At some point, the retired lieutenant deemed one of the two men who were fighting to be an apparent threat and discharged his firearm at that individual. Sadly, the subject of the retired lieutenant's discharge was in fact an off-duty federal law enforcement officer who had been inside the pharmacy when the other man had perpetrated an armed robbery. The federal officer had pursued and fired upon the robber, and a struggle ensued. After the retired lieutenant intentionally but mistakenly shot the federal officer, the robber gained control of the federal officer's firearm. At this point, the off-duty NYPD officer correctly adjudged the robber to be a threat and fired three rounds, striking and killing him. Tragically, the federal officer subsequently succumbed to his injuries as well. The criminal subject had served time in prison for a previous robbery convictions and was on parole at the time of the incident. His toxicology report was unavailable at the time of this writing.
So, like Mike said, this was originally marked as an unidentified instance because we were not able to find information about who the person was that was killed in this incident. And as you heard, it was actually two people that ended up being killed during this incident. So the first person that was killed is named John Capano, and he was the federal agent that was off duty and was in the pharmacy at the time that this all took place. And the second person that was killed was James McGoey, and he was the man that was trying to rob the pharmacy and was shot by Agent Capano, and then Agent Capano was shot by another, not off duty, but retired police officer from down the street.
Right.
So when you look this up, and I had to, I guess what we were doing before, I don't really remember how we were researching at the beginning of the year, but I had to search a couple different terms and just change my language around a number of times to find information about this incident. And most of the information that I found was only about the federal agent, the off-duty federal agent that was involved and was killed. And there isn't really very much information about James McGoey, but I guess the whole story is that the story that I can find out, at least, is that the off-duty agent Capano went to the pharmacy to pick up medication for his father, and the man James McGoey came in and robbed the pharmacy, and during the actual robbery, Capano, along with everyone else in the pharmacy, were, you know, staying still and going along with it. But then as Magoey was leaving, Capano decided to get involved, and he was carrying his, you know, state-issued weapon and shot Magoey on his way out. And then as that was happening, I guess a couple of people that were walking by ran down the street where they knew there was a shop owned by an ex-police officer, like a retired police officer. So they knew that there was some sort of relationship to police, and went and got those people. And then that's where two men that were both retired police officers, or, you know, one was retired and one was off duty, I believe. Those two men came running and didn't know who was who. And according to a couple of different reports, some people say that it was just all very unclear. And then a couple of people said that Capano was putting his hands up and saying, "I'm a good guy, I'm a good guy, don't shoot." And either way, the officers that came in later and onto the scene ended up killing Capano as well. And I believe they actually shot the bullets that killed both men. So it's really just a, I don't know what to make of it, you know. Ultimately, obviously robbing a pharmacy isn't a good move. It's not something that anyone would say is, like, you know, an appropriate thing to do. But also, I don't know, did he need to be caught in that moment? Like, you know, the off-duty agent that ultimately ended up losing his life, he's being written about as, you know, as a hero. And I think I can understand wanting to get involved, even as a non-police person. Like, you know, if I see something happening, my instinct is to get involved as well. And I don't carry a weapon, so I wouldn't be able to get involved in the same way. But, you know, I think I get it, but it also seems like it's just so unfortunate.
Yeah.
That it had to all happen that way. And then it makes sense that, you know, I guess the people that were walking by that ran down the street, they knew that the people at that store were ex-police, so that does make sense that you'd run to them. But then, you know, these people are retired. They don't know. It's not like they would know who the men are anyway, but it's just so complicated and so unfortunate. And I don't necessarily think that just because of this incident, you know, off-duty people or retired people shouldn't be carrying weapons. That's not really my conclusion here. But it does just seem like a lot of action and confusion, and like the firearms really were the main problem in this instance. The robbery was probably really scary for all the customers in the pharmacy, and, you know, it sounds like the robbery was committed with a weapon as well. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really, it's just a really unfortunate chain of events. And almost like, you know, no one would have died had all of those off-duty and retired law enforcement people not been there that day.
Yeah.
Everyone would have still been alive. The pharmacy would have been robbed. Possibly Magoey wouldn't have been caught, but also he might have been, because he was already in the system. He was already someone that, you know, had a record, and police, maybe where there were cameras or something.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he was on parole.
Yeah.
Obviously had a drug issue. I mean, right. You go to pharmacies in New York City now, and people, you know, it's a common occurrence for people to take things, and the security is, you know, told not to even engage them.
Right. Know? That's I mean, I guess that's different than, like, robbing the counter.
Of course. It's different.
But that is, no, but it is true, like, in a Rite Aid or a Duane Reade or something. Yeah, it's very common for people to be stealing things off the shelves, especially in Manhattan.
Yeah.
We've seen that and talked to pharmacy workers about that and heard that,
right.
Yeah, the security is told just let them go because it's safer.
Yeah, and protocol within banks, to my understanding, is to just give the people the money that they have,
right.
And, you know.
Because it's more important to make sure that everyone stays safe.
Right.
And, you know, doesn't get injured or killed, right? Rather
right.
than trying to be a hero and save the money or
right.
save the whatever it is that's being stolen.
Right. And so I, you know, don't know how much about killings that actually occur during the course of a pharmacy robbery.
Right.
You know, that would be interesting to know. People,
yeah.
Like, unimpeded robbery. How often is it that there's actually a pharmacist or a customer that's killed?
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
Probably not that
I
common
would
be my
not
guess.
Not that many, but yeah, I'm not sure.
So I mean, it's clear that it raised the stakes to have these guys come in without being there on the scene at the time.
Right.
Of course, that goes in the face of what we understand to be justice and, you know, the criminals being, you know, apprehended or not even apprehended, just, you know, that justice be enforced.
Right.
And these ideas of justice are based on, you know, what we see on television and movies.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would necessarily use the word justice for something like this. Like, I feel like I would just, it's more just like a law and order thing where you're not supposed to steal. And so if you steal, you should get in trouble right away. And if we let people get away with it, that's not fair in some way. But, you know, here we are looking at, instead of letting someone get away with it, now both the person that was committing the crime and another person are both dead because of, you know, wanting to prove that stealing isn't okay.
Well, no, I mean, it's an unreasonable, it's like a addiction to justice, or it's like justice and, you know, doing the right thing at all costs, like,
yeah.
the rules being upheld at all costs, and ultimately, you know, people that weren't involved at all in the initial encounter lost their lives as a consequence.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and it's really sad. I mean, I think there wasn't really very much reporting on James McGowey, and I find that sad because he lost his life as well, and, you know, I'm sure his family has a lot of feelings about it, and he was just as human as anyone else involved.
Right, and we have the officer.com report that, you know, is kind of a common theme we've seen among the past year, particularly, like, this is 2012.
Yeah.
Drug-addled ex-con.
Right.
Dead outside a drugstore amid bottles of stolen pills. You know, the drug-addled perpetrator.
Right.
Pill popper.
I think in the same article, they're writing about how sad it is that they lost, that the officer lost his life as well.
Right.
And calling him a hero. And, it, you know, obviously, based on, you know, what we believe to be good and bad in our society, James McGowey was not an upstanding citizen, and I understand that people would immediately feel more sad for the off-duty agent that was in the pharmacy at the time that got involved and then lost his life as well. I understand that. But it's also like when you're writing about one person dying and you're saying how sad that is and you're interviewing his family and his family is very sad and his father is distraught because he feels like he should have gone to get his medication himself. Like, and then you can't take the time to think, oh, you know, this other person also lost their life, and treat them with respect. Like, this person is dead. They aren't a drug-addled con anymore. This is just a person that lost their life.
Right.
And even at the time, even if that's what you choose to describe them as, like, everyone has so many different facets to them, and to just choose the most negative words to describe someone says much more about the author of that article than it does about the actual person that they're describing.
Right. Well, I mean, a couple of paragraphs from the end of this particular article, it doesn't even focus on on Magui. There's, by contrast, the pill-popping Magui had spent nearly half his life in state prisons on armed robbery charges, including a drugstore robbery in Brookhaven in 1990, in which his accomplice screamed, "Give us money or we'll blow you away," at a store manager. So the last, you know, things that are ever written about him,
about someone is who was with.
Yeah, like, you know.
From 12 years prior.
And, yeah, I mean, I do think that one of the things that we found in the course of reviewing a decade's worth of crime in New York City, and of course this was actually in Nassau County but involved an NYPD officer, is that the language seems to have improved in terms of how to describe it. It's still not perfect, but it does seem to have improved.
It does seem to have improved, and I think, yeah, I think people are starting to think about it more. I think there has been a serious disregard for life that I don't know if people that are writing these articles would want to admit that they had a disregard for life, because it's typically people that, you know, wanna be perfect in some sort of, you know, upstanding way. But
well, this article's
that's the truth.
Officer.com.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a slant to begin with on this site. But
right. But that's, you know,
there,
the slant is, it's okay. I think if you're officer.com, there might be a slant to want to be in favor of officers. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be a slant to not value the life of someone that died just because they've committed some crimes in their life.
Absolutely. What I would say is that I'm not even sure if, you know, you talk about the idea that people wouldn't want to be wrong or somehow admit that what they were writing previously was wrong. But I don't even think you have to, like, I don't want to be full judgmental on people if that is just the way that things are written. You know, if you have to write how many of these a year, or, you know, you have the slant that, you know, is expected to sound right from both the people that are reading it and the people that are approving it and whatnot, then that's the world that you live in.
Yeah.
So I don't think it has to be
the entertainment element of it. You're writing an article, you want people to read, and yeah, it'll get more clicks or something if you
even beyond the entertainment of it, value of it, purely the this is correct. This falls in line with what this article should sound like.
Right.
This is, yeah, it goes beyond good and bad, and is more just like, I am checking off all the boxes that makes this type of article a complete submittable article.
Right.
And as a consequence of people, you know, protesting and alerting people to the multifaceted nature of humanity, which is not something that we should have not known before, but something that for whatever reason is becoming more manifest. You know, we're working, I think, as a society to raise our consciousness and giving ourselves the opportunity to do so. And in a lot of ways society has improved and allowed us to broaden our understanding of these situations. It's not all negative, it's positive that these things are improving.
Yeah.
And we can continue to improve them, and it's not a heartache for us to work on this.
No, it's really, in fact,
a positive thing. We can all be happier as a consequence.
Yeah. I agree. And yeah, I think you're right that the more recent things that we've read do seem to have more toned down language and seem to be aware that they're writing about people that died and not, you know, being able to realize that even if someone's a criminal, it's still a person.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's our report this week, and for our final week of use of force for this project.
Yeah, so thanks for listening both to this episode and to the 51 that have come before it. At the end of these, we usually say that if you have any more information, we'd love to hear from you, and that still goes. I don't know what we're going to be doing with this portion of our project from here on out, but most likely we will be using the information that we've gathered to further our understanding of these situations. So that still goes. If you are listening to this now or sometime later in the future and you have something to share with us, we'd still love to hear from you.
Yes. Thank you all very much for listening. And until this conversation continues at a later time, take care.